Welcome to It's Not That Hard with your hosts, Anda and Emmanuel. Each week, we bring you lessons learned in running a business, being married to your business partner, and being a parent.
We all know it's hard work, long hours, and really stressful, but at the same time, it shouldn't be that hard.
We hope you enjoy. Welcome to episode 5 of It's Not That Hard. I'm here with my lovely wife.
Hello, everyone.
And I'm Emmanuel. This week, this is episode 5. We've made it 5 episodes.
Well, technically 4. This is the 5th one.
Okay. Let's see if we make it through this 5th one, and then we'll say we made 5 episodes. But yes, we've completed 4 episodes, and we're on to our 5th. So this week, we're going to go ahead and talk about everybody's favorite.
Social media.
That was my wife, Wanda, not me. She sometimes has a deeper voice than me, so you might get the two confused. I'll just make sure I have a little asterisk in there that says, Anda speaking. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to talk about social media. Why? Because I don't want to say unfortunately, because we're business owners and it's a huge platform for our businesses, but it can be a bad thing. It can be a good thing, depending on how you look at it. So I think we're just going to jump right into it and kind of talk about the importance of social media in our businesses. We really don't have that much of a presence of personal social media on all platforms because we're so consumed with our business social media platforms. But let's just talk to Anda real quick and see what her take is just on the general social media landscape.
I have a love and hate relationship with social media. If I could do without it, I certainly would. I don't enjoy it as much as I did when I was, you know, before having the businesses and I was doing it just for fun, keeping in touch with friends. Now that is a task. It's a hard work, actually. You know, it may seem easy. Oh, you just post something and throw a couple of hashtags in there. But the reality is the social media is really difficult to build a loyal audience, an audience that trusts your brand and will follow you. So I don't know what to say. I have a love and hate relationship with it.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I guess you could definitely see it's a love-hate relationship, especially if you look at the overall public's perspective of social media. Because when you think of social media, it's... I don't want to say it's fake, but a lot of times it paints this very aspirational picture of life in general. I think it's a great, maybe it's a great escape for people to go to look at something where they aspire to be or a level of living they wish to be at, whether it's in lifestyle, food. You know, I wish I was a better cook, so I'm going to look at Martha Stewart or something. We'll never be Martha Stewart status, but, you know, it's good to look at it. Fashion, cars, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there, and I guess, you know, it's entertainment value, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of engagement. You have to constantly stay engaged and communicate with your audience or with those that you want. You know, you want them to become your audience. You have to constantly nurture that audience, and for some it comes very easy and natural. For others like myself, it's not easy for me to do chit chat with people.
Right. Well, really, I had no idea you're not an easy chit chatter. That's funny. Well, you know, kind of just honing in on a specific topic here. Just you're talking about social media being time consuming, and it is time consuming because you find yourself getting sucked into it. It's so easy just to pull it up on your phone and there it is. You just, you know, you're looking at images, you're looking at articles. I personally use, I have one personal social media account, which is Facebook, which is personal. And for that, it's very limited to family, close friends, keeping up with, you know, family or whatever. And there's just so much out there that you don't really don't need to see, and it's very easy to, I could say, you'll filter these things you don't want to see, so that makes it easy. But on a, you know, on a business note, for me, it's very valuable because it is a direct contact with a consumer in our business in both Lord Wellington and Butler by LordWellington.com, where we can have direct contact communication with consumers in real time, immediately. We can have a back and forth with them. And because a lot of people are on it all the time, it's easy to reach these people pretty much any time of day.
Yeah, for me on the business side, it took me a while to figure out where my audience was. And I narrowed it down. They're on Instagram, they're on Facebook, and they are on Pinterest. So they're on the more of the visual platforms. They're not on Twitter, for example. It took me a while, and I do better on some than others with Instagram. Although I do spend a lot of time on Instagram, I don't think I do that well. I think that's where you really need to maintain contact, and that's where.
Well, it's because also Instagram is hot right now. It's not necessarily what is, you know, works for you or what doesn't work for you. It's all a matter of what is hot. I mean, you know, one thing could work better for you, but if you have the potential to reach more people and do something better on a different platform, then in the business perspective and from a business point of view, you should be going to those platforms, you know, whether you like it or not. That's one thing that I learned is that, and ironically, it worked in my favor, is that Pinterest, for example, I'm a male. I'm not, you know, in the really the demographic that started being a Pinterest person. It usually was kind of just, you know, geared more towards the ladies who wanted ideas for parties or recipes, and you know, it's very when it first started, it seemed like it was very female driven.
It still is
very female driven, and there's been a swing recently towards more male stuff. So it was cars, men's fashion, travel, humor. There's a great humor on there, but what Lord Wellington did is we jumped in there pretty early when it was predominantly more geared towards the ladies, and we got a really good response, a really good organic traffic and growth on Pinterest, even though it wasn't my personal ideal platform to be on. But we were able to grow a great following on there, and we get great traffic from there, and it continues to grow now that we have, you know, more male followers on there. Personally, Twitter, I know it's for business, but I just can never really get into it. Instagram, we have an okay following on there. It's great to share images on there, as with Facebook, because we can do sharing back and forth now. But my number one is definitely Pinterest, as well.
Me too.
So I think also because we have lifestyle images, which are easily translatable to the Pinterest platform to create links to our products and our lifestyle blogs.
Well, for me also, Pinterest is the best one because there's no chit chat. You don't have to talk to anyone. You literally let your pictures, your photos, and what you share tell your story, tell your personality. And, you know, my shop, House of Andalou, is on Shopify. So for me, the greatest thing was when Shopify introduced the integration. So the Shopify integration with Pinterest and with Instagram, to where people can, on Pinterest, for example, people can buy directly on Pinterest. They don't even have to leave Pinterest to go to my website. They see my product on Pinterest, they click add to cart, they check out, they're done. So for me, Pinterest is the best platform. It drives a lot of traffic.
Yeah, so just keeping this kind of like on a business perspective, having the integrations and the ability to purchase or learn more now about your services immediately while staying on the platform, I think has been huge for us as small business owners. It keeps people on the social media platform that they're on. Instagram recently integrated with the Facebook shop, so now you can pin products on Instagram, show the price, and people can check out and purchase directly from there. So those kinds of things have been huge for us, to where social media has had a valuable impact into our businesses. And aside from just the paying the promotion fee or the advertisement fee, whatever you want to say, it's free.
Right. It is. That's the best thing, particularly for small businesses. And you don't need a lot of followers. You don't need a huge following. I know it's easy to get a little down, you know. You look on Instagram and you see these giant influencers, and you think, oh gosh, I can never be this good. In reality, you can have 2,000 followers, 3,000 followers. If you have the right followers, that's better than, you know, 20,000 that are not really that engaged or interested.
Right. And yeah, because if they're authentic followers and you have 20,000, let's say you have 2,000 followers, 2,000 authentic fans, authentic followers, you post a picture with a product and you get 1,500 likes from those 2,000 people, that shows more engagement and more authenticity than the person with 200,000 followers and they get 400 likes or two comments on their images. Mm-hmm. And you can see straight through that. If you're in the business side of it and you're looking at these different influencers and their like and comment ratio is so skewed from their following, you know that a lot of times those aren't real. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, it's fluff. And so those are the kinds of people coming from a business point of view that we wouldn't reach out to for any kind of influencer marketing or collaborations, just because unfortunately we're not concerned with how many followers you have. We're more concerned with how much engagement we can get with the followers that you have. Mm-hmm. So if we're coming to somebody with 2,000 followers and their engagement is, you know, a scale from 1 to 10 at a 9, then we're going to approach them and try to work with them in any kind of collaboration that we can more than anybody else. So I think that's huge. So just social media in general for me, you know, like I said, through my personal Facebook, it's very filtered. So I only see the things that I like or I care for. Unfortunately, I don't see anybody on there a lot of times because they've been filtered out. But that's because I manage it, right? It's all a matter of managing what you want to see. Some people are always out there saying, you know, like, I don't like it because I see this, I see that, I see that. I say, well, just filter those out and leave the pictures of babies and cats.
Yeah.
Because that brings me joy, not, you know, all the other nonsense that's going on or out there. I don't need to see a bunch of angry people. So, but from a business point of view, social media has been such a game changer. I think it has for business in general, because, you know, the days of print advertising and the days of having these account managers going around trying to get you to print in their local newspaper, all of these things is dwindling. Mm-hmm. For sure. We have tried to do that and we've noticed that wasn't the route that everybody was going, because nobody was looking at billboards or newspapers. They're all looking at their phones. So because everybody's looking at their phones, then that's where we have to direct our attention to.
Yeah. I think another thing about Facebook, for example, that's another one that I have a love and hate relationship, primarily for the reason you said. There's people tend to overshare on Facebook. So sometimes it's just hard to tolerate.
I wouldn't know because I blocked all those people. So
well, sometimes it's, yeah. What was I gonna say? I lost my.
You said you had a love and hate relationship with Facebook, and like, yeah. I said, people overshare.
Yeah.
Come on, Chatty Cathy, chat it up.
I lost my train of thought now. Go ahead.
That's funny. So let's kind of go over to Instagram, for instance. For Instagram, you know, this goes in hand in hand with the amount of traffic that I get on LordWallington.com. And I tell Onda this all the time. I would rather get, as an example, 10 visitors to my website a day and 9 or 10 of those people convert into a purchase or into a lead for a service. Mm-hmm. Versus 500 and I get nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So this kind of there's correlation here between that thinking and also social media, to where when we post on social media, personally, when I post as a business, if I get 2 likes, if I get 200 likes, I really don't care, because I'm just doing it for, number one, brand awareness, to say, hey, we're still alive, we're still kicking, we're still here. And if 5 people like an image and I can get 4 of those 5 people or 5 of those 5 people to find the way to the website, then for me, that's way more valuable than having 100 likes and having nobody have clicked through to go see the website.
Yeah.
So, and right now with the way that the I hate saying this word because everybody says it like they're an expert in it, a logarithm. I'm no expert in it. I don't even know what the heck it is. The series of zeros and ones in the computer world, that's what controls this. So now you can see that nothing's in chronological order anymore. So that makes it even more kind of like, well, if I post it now, oh, 2 likes, delete. Well, I'm going to post it in 10 minutes. one like delete, well, you know, maybe 1,000 people would have seen it tomorrow and it would have said posted 24 hours ago.
It's about relevance and it's about value, right? Everybody wants to get value out of your content. Otherwise, what's in it for them? So if you just post, let's say, images of product and you say, buy my product, or I'm running a sale. It's not entertaining. It's not entertaining, but there's no value, right? So rather than putting a picture of a mug, say, hey, buy my mug, perhaps you do a post about, you know, how you can make a hot chocolate with some marshmallow, all pretty in that cup, in that mug, right? So,
well, yeah, it's all, you're right. It's all about relevance and value that people can get out of these images and these posts. And I think that's why we've been so much successful with Pinterest, especially early on, is because we were the only way you could get an image on Pinterest really at the beginning was if it was pulled from a link or a page or something that people could get directed to. Mm-hmm. So we had to give them something to say, hey, look at my picture, click on it, and it'll take you somewhere.
The thing about Pinterest also is that more and more people are starting their purchase searches on Pinterest as opposed to Google, right? So me personally, and many others, until a couple of years ago, if I wanted to buy a bathing suit, I would go on Google and search, you know, red stripe bathing suit or something. Now I start a lot of my searches on Pinterest, and I get all I need, because if you search red striped bathing suit on Google, you'll get these product images, right, that they pull from Macy's, Nordstrom's, whatever. But if you do the same search on Pinterest, you get lifestyle images. You see that bathing suit on someone on the beach.
Right.
You get a representation.
A real person, really.
Right, yeah. Right. Whether it's a model or not, it doesn't matter. I see it in real life.
Right, yeah. And I think that, yeah, you're right. Giving the value in the product or the image, I should say, is, I would say, you know, 80% of the battle of social media. You know, aside from sifting out all the garbage and thinking about what to write or what not to write or good hashtags, this or that, it's make or break. It's got to be the image. Mm-hmm. The image has to be something that's going to, number one, grab somebody's attention. They're going to have to relate to it in one way or another. And then it's going to have to be enticing enough for them to want to even go even further than just either scrolling past it, or, you know, maybe they click on it, it goes, you know, to the main image, and then it's like, okay, well, now what?
Yeah.
Like, the image has to be spot on. And there's a lot of people that are really good with these lifestyle images out there. A lot of them are, you know, the influencers that have a team usually, so it's all planned out, you know, with whatever they're doing. There's some people who do a great job of just doing it on the spot images with their cell phone when they're in the right environment, the right lighting. But a lot of times as a business owner, it's challenging because we have to create an illusion. Yeah, that's
of spontaneity, when in reality it's scripted, just like reality shows. It really is.
You gave away the secret. Sorry, everybody.
You mean people still thought reality TV is reality?
It's not. I don't know what to say. Keeping Up with the Kardashians isn't real?
Babe, there is no Santa.
If you have children, I am sorry. My wife, our poor son. Oh, man. The kid's going to be in kindergarten telling people that there's no Santa. I mean, you ruined it. Anyways. So going back to just like this, the images, the 80, it's got to be 80% of success rate in social media is based off the images to drive people in. We have we don't say we have a challenge with that, but it's very, it's a welcomed challenge to try to figure out how to create these images, these lifestyle images, these product images that aren't salesy, I guess you could say. I think another thing that social media has done, from my opinion, is it's taken away that used car salesman sleaziness in selling stuff, especially on social media, because now you can't just, and people can see straight through that, right? They can see this whole, like, you know, like you said, here's a product, buy my mug. It's like, okay, no, that's not, you know, I don't see how that mug fits in my house. But now what we've done is we've had to create these illusions of how that mug is going to look in your house. So you see it and you relate to it. So the whole kind of, it's a whole new level of sales now. Mm-hmm. Like we've surpassed the sleazy car salesman. Now we're, now you see car ads and...
Well, it's the aspirational side of it, right? Sometimes just because someone has that mug, I have to have that mug. If that person that I follow is my ideal, hashtag goals, my ideal person, I want to have whatever he, she is having. Because if J-Lo... has that mug,
who happens
if that,
to,
mug, if that mug is good enough for J-Lo,
then I gotta have it, and I want it. I need that mug for my wife. I mean, yes.
Yeah,
no, I totally agree. I personally, looking at, I guess being on the inside looking out, I've never personally looked at something on social media and thought to myself, I have to have that because,
yeah, me either,
so and so has it or whatever, just because I kind of know the game, I know what they're doing. And, I really don't want that thing.
No, but when I search for something that I want, and I, not something completely specific, let's say I'm just searching for a bathing suit, right? I may actually end up buying the one that a certain person is wearing, let's say on Instagram, someone that I'm following, because I love everything else about that person. I know she has great taste. I'm going to get that one.
You trust, right. You trust that they have great taste, right.
Yeah.
So they've given you their, an insight into their life and you relate to it, I'm sure, one way or another. And you think, okay, that's my aesthetic. That's what I like. That's what I enjoy. So that's good. So, we kind of hit the topic of, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, Facebook, as much as people say, Facebook's dying in the younger generation or this or whatever, there's still millions and millions of people on Facebook, and it's still a great value for the money that you're going to spend on advertising and marketing. If your marketing budget is, X amount of dollars, you'll probably get a higher reach through a Facebook ad than you would through direct mail, which unfortunately we just throw away. It doesn't even make its way out of the mailroom in our building. The garbage can is always packed with these direct mailers, which is so sad because I've done it before and I know exactly how much money these people are spending on it, and they're probably not getting a return on their investment at all. So, I still want to say Facebook is king when it comes to marketing. Second for us in our lifestyle brands, it would be, Pinterest, of course, because we have a great sales funnel through there already. We were kind of grandfathered in before they made some changes.
Well, another difference between Instagram and Pinterest is that Pinterest drives traffic. People on Instagram don't really leave Instagram. They don't even click on the link to read, let's say, a blog post that their top influencer shares. They just love the picture. They'll double click on it. They'll maybe leave a comment. OMG, I love your outfit. But that's kind of it. On Pinterest, however, people click. They want to go to the source. They want to see where that's coming from. And right. So yeah, it drives a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I think sometimes because the biggest things that are in the news right now, I don't say the news, but trending is Snapchat. Twitter's been around forever, Facebook and Instagram. I don't know why a lot of people forget Pinterest. Like,
I am very surprised that there's a lot of people who have never used Pinterest. And I don't mean business owners. I even talking to my girlfriends, I don't know. If you don't use Pinterest, where do you get your recipes? Do you have your mother's cooking book? Like, I've only used Pinterest for recipes for the past, I want to say, 5-6 years. I have no idea how else. Well, now I ask Alexa, but I'm pretty sure she pulls from Pinterest.
She just lit up. That's funny. You can't say her name. Now she's listening to us. Alexa, share our podcast to millions and millions of people, please.
I know about many American people, including Sarah Nows, Lucy Hanna, Susanna Mushak Jones and Gertrude Weaver.
Thank you. Don't know who any of those people are. If you happen to be any of them, please don't sue us.
I lost my train of thought.
Okay. Again. Anyway, so let's go back to Pinterest. So Pinterest two, as of March 20th, 2018, Pinterest has 200 million
monthly active users,
which is a huge number for something that is not very common. And like you said, there, we know some small business owners now in the lifestyle industry who don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
They've never integrated. That's insane. Didn't know you could have a business page. They didn't know you could integrate it with your shop. There's a lot of things that they didn't know about something that 200 million people are using once every month.
Yeah.
And it's specifically directed, like Anda said, towards lifestyle.
And they actually, they have Pinterest for Business, amazing resources. You can sign up for their newsletter. You get their trend reports. You see what's trending a certain time of the year with certain audiences. Generally speaking, Pinterest is all about home decor, weddings, food, and fashion. These are the biggest ones.
Humor
as well. Yeah.
I think humor is what brought in the male demographics. There's probably some great summy cards in there.
Okay. I know. They're funny.
Those are pretty funny. So then comparing the 200 million monthly users from Pinterest to Facebook, first quarter of Facebook had 2.19 billion active monthly users. So you can still see why Facebook is still king when it comes to getting the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to advertising and marketing.
Well, it really depends. If your audience is young adults, 16 to 21, then it's not Facebook. That's not where they are. But for most of us, like for our businesses, our audience is a little older than that, in their 30s and their 40s. They are on Facebook.
Right, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely goes back to your demographic and your ideal client before you decide which one to target on. I think personally you should have a presence on all social media platforms. If you have the bandwidth for it, if you have the time, if you have a PR agency running it, a social media manager, whatever the case is, if you have those things and you're able to spread yourself across all of them, great. As small business owners, we focus on one, we hit it hard. We sprinkle a little bit of stuff on other ones, but like I said, we really honed in on the ones that we see direct traffic coming to our website. Because at the end of the day, it's about making some money.
And every single one, like we were saying, each one of them require a lot of time, consistent every single day. So on Pinterest, for example, I think I have about 140,000 monthly views. It only stays and increases if I am active every single day. So every single day, I want to say an average of 100 pins to keep it up, to keep my audience engaged, to increase my audience. And I typically use the 80-20 rule. So I pin 80% is other people's content and then 20% my own content.
Yeah, definitely consistency is key. I think it depends on who you are and what you're posting to say if it takes a lot of time. I just would say consistency because when something is posted from the Lord Wellington brand, it's usually something quick and easy, and here it is. Just because I know my key demographics aren't necessarily looking for something long and drawn out. Anda, on the other hand, takes a little bit more in-depth approach to this, so it does take her a little bit longer, but she does see a great return on her time because she's giving people bigger bang for their buck, I guess.
Well, yeah, and women are different than men. Purchasing behavior is much different. A woman will not buy, generally speaking, doesn't see something and buys it right away, as opposed to men, who we see that happening a lot. Women have to read about it, have to think about it. They leave, they come back, they leave again, they come back. Sometimes they have to come 3, 4, 5, 6 times before they actually make the purchasing decision. So it's very different. You have to sell it to women much more than you do to men.
Right. I think one thing that Pinterest had before
the other social media outlets had was the ability to save a link per se. So mm-hmm. let's say, for instance, you know, on Pinterest we have an image. What they would do is they would take it, you know, and I'm sorry if you know this already, but a lot of people don't, because there's only 200 million people a month on Pinterest and 2 billion people on Facebook. But you would take it and you'd pin it to a board that you created. So you say, okay, I really like this image of these glasses that houseofondelou.com put up. I'm going to save it to my board for glassware. So there was the ability for them to revisit mm-hmm. these boards and see what they liked, you know, a month or two ago. Or they created one for their wedding. So they were just constantly compiling all these content images into this wedding board. So there was House of Andalou blue glasses and LordWallington.com blue bow ties for their wedding. So they were able to go back to it, revisit it, and also, you know, make purchases from there. It wasn't until recently when Instagram came up with the option to save a link or save an image that you could go back to without having to find the person, remember who they were, you know, go through the rabbit hole of links and all of these things before you get there. So I think Pinterest was definitely a pioneer in the ability to save the content, revisit it, and that was just great value for small businesses.
Yeah, I agree. So. And for customers, period. I mean, I shop on Pinterest. I get my inspiration for everything. Even when I got married, that's where I went for ideas. Even for our restaurant, we had the reception. We got married in Paris, and a lot of the research we did for the wedding was through Pinterest. That's how we found hotels and restaurants and everything.
Right, yeah. So I guess in a nutshell... social media has been nothing but good for us, because we're using it to benefit our businesses. We're not using it for any other reason. You know, we don't ever share personally. We very rarely share personally.
On Pinterest, I will say on Pinterest, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but on Pinterest, you have your public boards and you have your secret boards, right? So as a business owner, the one of the tricks is that you want to only have boards that are relevant to your business. So for example, for House of Andalou, all of my public boards have to do with home and entertaining, period. All 46 of them or 48 of them, right? I do, however, have secret boards where I pin stuff for myself, when I look for clothes or whatever, vacation or cute doggies or stuff that means something to me but not to my audience. So actually Pinterest, what I was trying to say is I use it, I take a lot of pleasure of it. I use it for both personal and business at the same time.
It's good to know you have secrets from me. Now I know.
If you want to see all the clothes that I put in a board that I want to buy.
Keep those secrets. Those secrets you can have. Thank you. Anyway, so that kind of rounds up our social media conversation. It's something that, a conversation that we have every single day in our house, because we're husband and wife, business owners. We're running this show together. So, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about separation of business and personal life. Doesn't really exist. It just comes up every single day because this is our livelihood and this is what we do. So taking this back, we're going to go ahead and take it. We have a question from Sarah in San Diego. She had a question about what is it like to be a husband and wife business owner / business partner? I think that's a great question, because that's kind of what this whole podcast is revolving around, is our journey of being husband and wife and running businesses and being parents and figuring this thing called life out together. I'll let Anda take a swing at this one first. Sarah, here it comes.
I have a lot to say about this. Well, first of all, it's Sunday night, 10:30, and we're recording a podcast. That's what it is. We're always on as a couple. We're always on as business partners. It's very busy. It's very busy. But I think you have to become really tolerant. You need to manage your frustrations and your stress that comes from business. You have to manage it really well and not take it out on your spouse. Even if the spouse is your business partner, at the end of the day, you have to make the separation.
Right. Well, Sarah, that was pretty mild, Onda. Thank you. I was expecting something way different. Thinking about working with your business partner, like Onda said, is it number one, it is stressful. I mean, it's stressful no matter what, if you're married to your business partner or not. I think kind of what adds to the stress is not having the ability to get away like most people do. I mean, I love you. I mean, no, but just...
You're always there.
Right. So, yeah. So, like the Onda was saying, the idea of always being on. When you're a business owner and you walk outside the door, you're on all the time. I think me more so than Onda, because I'm completely branded 24/7. All my shirts have the Butler by Lord Wallington.com brand. My car is smothered with Butler by Lord Wallington.com. So I'm always on. So that just kind of adds to the stress of not being able to, you know, a 9 to 5, 5 o'clock comes on, you punch your clock and you're off. You know, that's kind of the thing. So when you bring that kind of lifestyle into the home and your spouse is, you know, in the same, it's, you know, like Anna said, it's difficult to separate it. It's really hard to draw the line of, you know, personal and work, because our work is our life.
Well, again, it's Sunday night, 10:30. Most couples are probably in their pajamas watching a movie, drinking a glass of wine. We are recording a podcast.
Right, and good for them. That's not the life I wanted. So 10 o'clock with the podcast with my lovely wife. For me, just as satisfying as a glass of wine in my pajamas, which I don't wear. So
TMI.
But anyway, so yeah. So just going back to it, just, you know, there's challenges in everything. I think that what keeps us sane is just that, you know, there's days where we, you know, you lose it a little bit. You start shaking and foaming at the mouth. And you're like, those days come, those days go. But I think once you learn to manage those emotions and know that, you know, you have to have a conscious awareness that your business partner is your spouse.
Right.
You can't not be aware of that. The second you're unaware of that, or you let it overshadow your relationship, your personal relationship, then, you know, I think that's where you'll get some serious issues. But number one, my wife is my spouse first, then she's my business partner. So marriage comes first. So I guess that can answer it.
It's much more common now. I mean, we're surrounded by couples who are entrepreneurs. We're everywhere you look, we have a lot of them in our circle. We know a lot of them. So much more common than it used to be. And hopefully everybody survives, because I do think that just like children, a business is, you know, it can test your marriage. It's another layer on top of your blissfulness.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So anyways. Communication and stress management. See a therapist. It helps.
Go to the gym. It helps.
Yes. That so. Too.
All right, Sarah. Thanks for your question. If you have any other questions and you want to reach out to us, or if you just want to know something a little bit more about us, you can email us at ask@cgo-enterprises.com. That's ask@cgo-enterprises.com. Or you can go to either of our websites, houseofmontalu.com or lordwallington.com, and hit the Contact Us tab and send your questions that way. So we hope you appreciated this insight into the illusion of social media and how we work it and how we find value in it. And we hope that you were able to find value as well. And have a great week.
Bye. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to It's Not That Hard, our weekly podcast. If you can leave us a review and feedback, that would be great. Your feedback and reviews are what keep us going. Thanks.